You've probably heard of the most well-known haloalkanes, the CFCs, and their effect on the ozone layer. CFCs are haloalkanes, or halogenoalkanes as you may be more used to calling them. These are hydrocarbons in which one or more hydrogen atoms have been replaced by one or more of the halogens, fluorine, chlorine, bromine, or iodine. CFCs are volatile and chemically stable compounds which were widely used as propellants in aerosols and refrigerants, amongst other things, until it was realized that their very unreactivity was possibly causing environmental problems. Even the average person in the street has heard of the hole in the ozone layer, which is letting through more ultraviolet light from the sun, leading to warnings to us about spending too much time in the sun in some parts of the world. Unreactive CFCs have drifted into the upper atmosphere, where they are eventually broken up by the radiation from the sun, forming species which interfere with the normal production of ozone in the upper atmosphere. Ozone is Mother Nature's factor 100 sunlight filter, protecting us by absorbing most of the harmful UV radiation from the sun. Less ozone in the upper atmosphere means more UV reaching us sunning ourselves at sea level. Too much UV is not good for the skin. So, chemists have had to go back to their labs and find substitutes for these CFCs which are not so stable in the atmosphere and are therefore broken down before they reach the upper atmosphere. The reactivity of halogen compounds is therefore a topic of interest to us all. In the laboratory and industrially, haloalkanes are also very useful as the starting point for making a variety of other chemicals such as alcohols and alkenes, to name but a few. How do different haloalkanes compare in reactivity? You probably know already that haloalkanes mainly undergo substitution reactions. The halogen atom is replaced by another atom or group such as hydroxide, forming an alcohol, cyanide, forming another useful intermediate compound, a nitrile, or ammonia, forming an amine. As you might expect, the ease with which the halogen atom can be replaced depends on the halogen. Less obvious is the fact that it also depends on the type of haloalkane, primary, secondary, or tertiary. If you've forgotten what these terms mean, think back to alcohols. It doesn't really matter anyway, as we shall only be looking at the effect of changing the halogen here. When haloalkanes undergo substitution reactions, the halogen atoms leave, taking the pair of electrons in the carbon-halogen bond with them, forming a negative halide ion, Cl-, Br-, etc. Now, you should know from your Group 7 chemistry that we can test for the presence of halide ions using silver nitrate solution. Precipitates of the insoluble silver halides will be formed. If you're lucky, the color of the precipitate may even tell you which halide ion was present. Can you remember? Silver chloride is white, silver bromide is cream, and silver iodide is yellow. And don't forget not to leave these precipitates in the light for too long before you look at them. Can you remember why? Well, as any photographer should know, these silver compounds are light sensitive and are used on photographic film. Let's get back to the reactivity of haloalkanes, though. Substitution involves attack by a nucleophile, bringing a new pair of electrons in the front door, while the halogen atom scoots out the back door with its pair of electrons. Hence the name, nucleophilic substitution, for these reactions. Water is one of the nucleophiles that can be used. If the halide ions formed in such a hydrolysis reaction could be detected as they're formed, then we would have a way of following the rate of this reaction. The trick is to use silver nitrate solution instead of water. As soon as any halide ions are produced, a precipitate of silver halide starts to form in a second reaction. The rate at which the mixture goes cloudy provides a way of comparing different haloalkanes. The faster the cloudiness appears, the more reactive the halogenoalkane. Can you see that the silver nitrate, actually just silver ions if you think about it, is just used to detect the halide ions once the reaction between the haloalkane and water has taken place. Many students have been confused by the goings-on here and try very hard to involve the silver ions or the nitrate ions in some strange reaction with the haloalkane. Remember, first the haloalkane reacts with the water molecules. They come as the solvent with the silver nitrate. Then the silver ions combine with the halide ions released, forming a precipitate of silver halide. To add to the confusion for you and your fellow A-level candidates, ethanol is usually added to the mixture. This, contrary to many exam answers I've seen over the years, does not take part in the reaction with the haloalkane either. It's merely there as a common solvent for the aqueous solution of silver nitrate and the haloalkanes, which are not soluble in water. Without the alcohol present, two layers would form, and it would be very difficult, and slow, to compare the rates of reaction of different haloalkanes. So, a final word about the result of this comparison. As the halogen atom leaves as a halide ion, you might expect the polarity of the carbon-halogen bond to play a role here. Which halogen should form the most polar bond with carbon? Fluorine, of course, and the polarity decreases down the group until carbon-iodine bonds are barely polar at all. So which are you putting your money on, then, as the most reactive? Carbon-fluorine bonds or carbon-iodine bonds? If you don't know, then the opening paragraphs about CFC should have given you a clue. Carbon-fluorine bonds are extremely unreactive, followed by carbon-chlorine bonds, hence the unreactivity of CFCs. On the other hand, iodo compounds are much more reactive and form precipitates of silver iodide quite quickly if mixed with warm silver nitrate solution. So, if the trend of reactivity of haloalkanes doesn't follow the polarity of the carbon-halogen bond, what other factor could we consider? Well, what about bond strength? Which bond do you expect to be the stronger, carbon-iodine or carbon-fluorine? It's carbon-fluorine, of course, so the trend is the weaker the carbon-halogen bond, the more reactive the haloalkane. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? Providing, of course, we're comparing haloalkanes of similar structure.